This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 396. We're not at Comic-Con.
But neither are you.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I got no complaints. I mean, it's been another week. We're getting close to 400. Sure, we're not at San Diego Comic-Con, but...
I didn't have the money. I got all the time in the world. If someone wanted to foot my bill, I would have thought about going.
But we didn't have tickets. We didn't have money. You know, and those are two important things.
I know. Those are like the really important things.
That you need
things.
In order to do Comic-Con that we just lacked. But that's okay. That's all right. Because we got to live vicariously through some of our friends that are covering the show. And there's a lot of things that have happened.
Yes.
Okay. Before we get to the complete focus of today's show, which is Destiny... No surprises there, guys.
It's our destiny.
It's our destiny to talk about destiny. We're destined to do it.
We're destined to discuss destiny.
But before we discuss destiny, there are a couple of, like, little things that I want to make sure that, you know, we talk about because I just want to talk about them.
Okay.
And this is my soapbox to do so, so suck it, Trebek. You just have to deal with it. First off, Archer's going to Comedy Central.
Yeah, they've been talking about that, and they also got a nod for a Daytime Emmy.
Yeah! So, let's talk about that, because not only did...
At Midnight.
At Midnight got nominated for an Emmy. Archer was nominated, which, let's be honest with them, both of those shows are much more clever than I think people who have never watched an
episode
give them
credit for. It's like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They're far more sophisticated than you actually
realize. Well, I wouldn't say that Midnight's sophisticated, but it's much more clever than most people at first glance give it credit for. Archer definitely has, like, a little bit of sophistication added into its wittiness, but... I was really glad to see that Archer got nominated. I was very happy to see that At Midnight got nominated because it's one of my fast favorite shows on Comedy Central.
Mm.
So I'm not surprised, you know, because they're all under the same family umbrella to begin with, I believe. They're all Viacom stations. So I'm not surprised, but I am kind of taken aback just by the timing. Because Archer's been on FX since, you know, it began.
Since it's in conception.
Yeah, inception.
It's conception inception.
And I, you know, typically it's when things become syndicated that they appear on other channels. So I was surprised to hear that between seasons that it was going to switch networks. To me, I think the first time, I'm pretty sure I even mentioned it to you, Panda, the first time that I watched Archer, I thought, wow, surprised that this wasn't on Comedy Central. Because I think it was a better fit, you know, especially, like, with the Drawn Together and stuff that was going on at
the time. I certainly agree with that statement.
That it fit better at Comedy Central, so I was kind of surprised that it ended up on FX. But it's coming to Comedy Central, so it'll be interesting to see what time slot they put it in. Because is it a lead-in to South Park? Is it something that they try to make go on a Monday night because they don't really have a Monday night go? Because I'm sorry, Comedy Bang Bang sucks.
There were some episodes of Comedy Bang Bang that I enjoyed.
And I really wanted to enjoy Comedy Bang Bang because Reggie.
I think you're having a problem with Scott Aukerman.
Yeah, I have many problems with Scott Aukerman. I just don't find him funny.
I feel like his comedy is very situational, and where he forces himself into situational things, it's not naturally funny. Like, I can see how the joke is constructed. You're like, okay, I would expect that if I was going to laugh, I would do it here, and then I don't.
Because it's not funny, because Scott Aukerman's
not funny.
Because
he doesn't carry jokes well.
Yeah. So I've
like,
never
Reggie's
found...
really great about...
Reggie's great! I love Reggie!
Like,
just
the whole segment
like...
with Patton Oswalt where he was like, It's like, you're quoted. Like, Ackerman's like, you're credited as Reggie Watts. He's like, my name's Ryan. And it's like such an awkward situation. And like, it seems like everybody else is in on the joke because like Patton's like, hey, you're working with Ryan? And he's like, yeah, he thought my name was Reggie. And Oswald's like, Reggie doesn't rhyme with lion. Like, that was like the whole skit. And like, every time they'd revisit it, it was a nice ping back, which I enjoy in my comedy. I like when a joke will stick cross skit because it keeps it fresh in your mind.
Running gags work as long as it's a good gag. If it's not a good gag, then it's just a, oh, here we go again.
Like, Scott Aukerman thinks he's a running gag, and sadly, he is not.
Scott Aukerman is not a running gag.
He is, like, a strafing incorrectly in a game.
He's a strafing statement.
He's like, I want to go A, but I'm totally doing D right now.
No, he's totally a strafing statement. He is not a running gag.
He's very indecisive. He's not sure. He doesn't know if I want to go forward or back, so I'm just going to side it up like a crab.
I'm not letting it go.
Until I figure out what direction I want
to
be in.
So it'll be interesting to see what time slot they put it in, because I do feel like Archer does have to come on later at night, so it's got to be in a 10 o'clock slot someplace.
I think we're looking at 9:30 to like 11:30. Like, I think that time bracket would probably be the best.
That can't be the bracket, because then it would have to be, if it was after 10:30, it would have to be on Friday, because you have Daily Show, Colbert Report, Midnight.
Right.
In that lineup there. So you're looking at, it's got to be before an 11 o'clock. So
maybe 10:30?
Yeah, it's either going to be 9:30 or 10:30. It either has to be the lead into the 10 o'clock pitch or come after the 10 o'clock pitch, because I think the only spot that it could be the 10 o'clock pitch is to bounce out Comedy Bang Bang. I'm fine with.
Comedy Bang Bang.
That can go to Friday, as far as I'm concerned.
It's Friday. Oh, wow. That was a long time coming.
Wow. So, yeah. So, Archer to Comedy Central, looking forward to that, seeing where it's going to end up. Kind of curious, and will be fun to see, for sure. I'm hoping that it's not a Saturday night thing, because I feel like one of the things that I looked forward to about Archer was that it was on midweek. And it wasn't one of those, all right, so I got to wait for the animation block on the weekend to...
Right.
Be entertained. So, hopefully, it'll stay up. So, that's number one. Coming out of Comic-Con, first thing that I have to talk about, well, the first piece really isn't just a Comic-Con related thing. Guardians of the Galaxy will be available as a playset for Disney Infinity 2.0.
I'm not surprised about that.
I'm not surprised. I was really happy to hear about it. Frankly, I thought it wasn't going to happen until after the movie came out and they determined whether or not it was going to be a success before they made a dedicated set. Nope. And pretty much any and every place Guardians of the Galaxy characters can appear, they will appear. So there were like four different games announced that different Guardian characters were going to be available in them as playable, or make appearances in the game over the course of Comic-Con. But I think the biggest thing about Guardians was that at Comic-Con they announced that Guardians 2 was going to happen. Not only was it going to happen, it was going to be released in 2017.
Okay, so at least now we know, so we don't have to sit here and gripe about, are we going to get it? We are.
We are. So it's already a done deal. Guardians 1 hasn't even hit the theaters yet.
It will hit this week on Friday.
It's going to drop in 2017, which, correct me if I'm wrong, lines it up.
Wait, correct you if you're Wong?
Correct me if I'm Wong.
You are not Wong. You are Ninja Sister, so
okay,
I've corrected you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that line that up with the Superman, Batman... Woman.
Wait, is that the Ben Affleck, I'm Batman?
Yes, making an appearance in the next Superman movie. So doesn't that line
up? I'm sorry,
up?
But I'm really upset about the Superman-Batman movie.
Don't be upset.
Because we already know. We know what's going to happen.
No, we don't. We don't know.
We know we that suspect. Superman gets beat by Batman.
We suspect.
We know it, and I'm not spoiling because, you know, unless you didn't read the comic or, like me,
or
did your research.
Or maybe the movie's going off canon. You don't know that?
I doubt that.
It could happen.
You know what else could happen? I could sprout wings out of my butt and fly in circles
it's a possibility.
I could. Will it happen?
There's,
no.
Okay, according to Bioshock Infinite, there is, in fact, a lighthouse that goes to a world where that happens.
Where everyone has wings on their butt.
Not necessarily everyone, but you sprouted wings
on
your butt.
I sprouted wings on my butt and flew in circles.
Okay, so it's a possibility.
Okay.
All right. Now, is it within our realm of possibility?
No.
No. Is it within a realm of possibility? Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't like that
idea. Now.
I reject that reality.
Well, most people should. Wings on an ass. Just don't. I don't like anything about that at all.
Well, I mean, if you're tired and you don't want to walk, then you could, like, hover over the ground.
I don't want to.
With your ass up.
I don't want ass wings.
Ass wings.
Okay.
Swings.
Nobody wants ass
wings. Swass wings. When no. You've got wings that are swaggered.
No.
Swaggered wings.
No.
Look at my ass swagger. All right,
let's continue on. Guardians 2.
Because tangents.
Wow. Guardians 2, 2017. I think that lines it up to be out at the same time as the Batman, Superman movie. Superman, Batman.
Do you think it's right. They're dueling?
I don't know. Well, it's DC versus Marvel, so it's a duel right then and there. Depending upon whether or not they come out the same month. I think both studios would be smart to not have them go out at same month head-to-head.
I mean, that'd be really hard, because then which one do you see first and fight that line? I mean, as a nerd,
you gotta see them both, right?
Right.
And you gotta see them both
relatively on top of each other.
You know that they're gonna be in 3D and IMAX.
Fuck, dude.
So that's a very expensive nerd weekend.
That is very expensive. If they come out
at the same time. And to have you're then splitting the audience to try and have the top of the box office. So you've got to put them out at least a week apart so that you have a chance to be the box office winner at least one weekend out of it. Because if you split the audience, then you give another movie the chance to do it. So if you're smart, you don't put them out at the exact same time. But that's only if you're smart. So, Guardians 2, going down. It's going to happen. So, staying on the movie thing. This one not out of Comic-Con, but I just have to mention it. Saw the most hyped trailer that I've ever seen in life. The 50 Shades of Grey trailer, which had a preview trailer first, which was released on Beyonce's, I think, Tumblr.
I want to know why Beyonce would be all that enthused about this.
Because they're using one of her songs in the soundtrack.
I've been drinking.
No, Crazy in Love, they slow down.
Oh.
To try and make it more sultry.
Nope.
And so she did a release of a preview trailer for the actual trailer. The actual trailer was released this week, and a bunch of morning shows tried to talk about it, but they're like, but it's too steamy to show in daytime. So I watched the damn trailer thinking, oh, well, maybe we're going to see a deep V or something, because I didn't read the books.
Like a badge?
No, the dude's deep V. You know when they're chiseled?
Oh, yeah. Those little sexy divots?
Yes.
Oh.
I call that the deep V.
Oh.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry, when I think V, I think vag.
Well,
v
for that's badge. Just you, so not everybody thinks that way.
Or vulva.
So I'm thinking that maybe that's the direction that we're going, and that's why they couldn't show it. So I watched the trailer. It's not that provocative. Ooh. She's in handcuffs at one point, and having a good time, obviously. Because there's a moan of ecstasy, but you don't even hear the moan because there's music.
I can't roll my eyes hard enough.
There's the hint of a whip. And then that pretty much is...
I can't.
Like it. I know
it's being released on Valentine's Day.
Yes, and you know what? I'm still not going to see it. Like, there's nothing about anything I've heard about the books or that I've heard about the movie. And now that I've seen the trailer... Really not interested in seeing it at all. And I've had a bunch of people tell me, like, oh, no, they cast the wrong people because this person really, their hair color's wrong and, like, all this kind of dye. Stuff. And I'm just like...
No, look, because initially the
unless
male,
Alexander Skarsgård...
He was the initial. They wanted him, and one, he turned it down.
Oh, that's a shame, because that would have been awesome. I would have seen
because
it at that point.
Apparently this man has common fucking sense. Because everyone is, you know, clamoring for this book the way that people clamored for Twilight. And hey, if you like Twilight, that's on you. Look, you do you.
Look, you, I'm going to be honest. You. Twilight really didn't get good until the last fucking movie.
I'm talking books.
The books are simple, but the books are like any
youth.
You know, adult, any youth, young adult love series. Okay, they're all that formulaic and simple because that's the audience they're supposed to go to. Don't expect great sophistication in a romance novel written for a 17-year-old.
I'm just saying this.
Because that's who they were written for.
What is going to happen.
Pick up a Danielle Steele book. You'll feel much better, Panda.
Sorry, I'm a V.C. Andrews kind of lady.
Oh, of course you are. Of course you are.
Flowers in the attic. Give me some incest
and
money.
Incest and money. What is it with you and incest?
I like reading about interest, but not engaging in incest.
Wow. I got nothing to follow
because
that with.
I get to be an observer and a bystander, but not a participant. So my hands are clean in that regard.
Sure, whatever.
But anyway, well, the thing I dislike about this book series is if you are a person who does not fully understand the lifestyle that is being, and I air quote, portrayed, which is this slice, and not even a proper slice, of the BDSM community and what a potential encounter of that kind can be like, we're going to have very naive individuals, young adults, and then older adults, who are going to start jumping into stuff that, one, they are not fully prepped for.
I don't think the movie's going to make people all of a sudden be about, let's try BDSM. I feel like, as a person, you're either attracted to those things already, and you evidence some of those things in your love life that you feel
I don't know, because when Twilight came out, girls were like, I'm going to jump off of cliffs into water and see if a hot guy is going to materialize
right
before I die.
There were no girls that went cliff diving.
There was like one.
Okay.
There was one.
And we've had conversations before that media doesn't make people do things. People have things within them that they want to do, and then they find excuses to do them.
You mean like those little girls who were like stabbing their parents because they thought the Slender Man was real?
Correct. Those girls were fucked in the head to begin with, and that was just an excuse. Okay? So let's not put that there. I think that any type of movie that portrays any type of lifestyle, and we've talked about this before, how we tore Video Games the movie a new asshole because it didn't portray the community.
Yeah, I feel like we're walking to another one of those.
It's the same thing, that when you are part of a community and when you see a movie that portrays that community and it doesn't get it right, you obviously take personal offense to that because, hey, this is my community and you're not getting
it right. It's like, I've been chastised for this my whole life,
there's
and now you're going to put in the spotlight
movie,
and you're going to...
No movie that portrays any kind of community right.
Ah! Correction. Because I can counter this. There is a movie.
And I didn't say documentary. I said movie.
It's not a documentary.
Okay.
It is a movie. And it has James Spader and Horseface Maggie Gyllenhaal
in
it.
Oh, you're talking about Secretary.
I'm talking about Secretary. And Secretary, though a little artsy at times.
A little?
The ending,
Wait,
more or less.
A little?
The ending.
So before you're going to make a statement about a movie that gets it right, it has to get it right all the way. Not 90% of the way.
Well,
this
is
tons of movies that get things 90% of the way.
Well, this is like 95. Like, outside of that one scene, which they could have cut out from the end of the movie and made the movie shorter, would have been an accurate representation of that particular niche in the lifestyle.
Anyway, moving right along, because this is not a BDSM podcast.
Right, obviously.
I still, based off of the trailers, have no interest whatsoever in 50 Shades of Grey.
Nope, but you know, based off of what trailer I am dying to see?
What?
Dear White People.
Yeah, Dear White People has to happen.
I want
to
get a big viewing of my friends, both black and white, and I want to go to this movie, and I want everyone to be sitting next to somebody different, so that we could see who laughs at what, and then have a big discussion about it. Because, I mean, the trailer really kind of sums up the general things that we have.
And right there, you've just solidified and put the seal on your hipsterness. Because we all want to see this movie, and then after, I want to have a big discussion about it.
I do.
Most people are like, I want to see this movie, and then right after, I want to have a big dinner.
Well, I want to have this discussion over a big dinner. Does that count?
Nope. Too late.
But no, because I saw the second trailer, because I know they released the first one, and a lot of people were not sure of
what the movie
was going to be about. And the second one made it a little more clear, which I thought was good. And I watched it, and I'm like, yep, I totally have to go see this movie. I have to bring all my brown friends. I have to bring my...
Not brown friends
who I've had discussions with in the past about certain things that they've said that they were not aware were bad or just not things you say improper.
Stop asking to touch my hair.
Yeah. I'm not in it. Actually, I don't even get that anymore.
I do.
But I do. I've had to have
whether I have weave in extensions or not.
I had to have the Oreo conversation. with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, I love to eat Oreos because they are fucking delicious. And of all the cookies...
I don't take any stereotypes or any messages out of that. Double-stuffed Oreos are just delicious.
Overall, I would just appreciate not being called this because what you're telling me is something really bad.
Yep.
And also, don't call me mulatto.
Don't get me started on
don't,
that.
Don't do the joke about being a quadroon either from Archer.
Can we please?
Because that's probably one of the one jokes from Archer I do not like.
No, not at all. That's the only thing.
Like, I'm negative. Like, ooh, really? We had to go there? Like, you have freaking Aisha Tyler, and you're like, yeah, we have to have this discussion. We have to have this bit.
We had to tee it up.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
You didn't have to. But, so, yeah.
But when that movie comes out, I feel like the internet is going to kind of blow up.
Speaking of the internet blowing up, Gal Gadot. First photos and shots of her as Wonder Woman in the Superman Batman movie came out. I gotta tell ya, I was not one of the people who was on the fence about her being able to play Wonder Woman because I thought she did a bomb-ass job in the Fast and Furious movies. So I knew that she had action and badass available to her. Plus, she is a gorgeous, gorgeous woman. Okay, so she already had the long hair to do it. She had a nice, curvaceous body. So I'm just like, yeah, she
just
should
put,
definitely
just put
be
some
able
tone
to,
in there, tone it
just,
up.
Just a little bit of tone, and like, we should be off
put
to the
races.
Put
some bronzer on her.
Then I saw the photos, and I was like, ha-ha, I was right. Gal Gadot looks like a wonderful Wonder Woman. Now, there are a lot of people that are still bitching a moment. Oh, she's too short, this and that. I don't care. There are camera things that you can do
and,
to make
and
people
while,
taller.
And while I understand where they're coming from, I could see
and
why
Amazon
people...
And Amazon doesn't have to be tall.
I know, but
she
when you look at the comics
strong.
And you look at Wonder Woman, even though she's not as tall as Superman, you could tell she is not
our Gal Gadot average. Is not 4 foot tall. Okay, she's like 5'9", so she's not short.
How tall is our Superman going
to
be?
I don't know. I'd have to look up how tall Caviezel is. Doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter. I just wanted a strong, good-looking woman to play Wonder Woman. Because for me, growing up, the image of Wonder Woman on screen was Linda Carter.
Yes.
And Linda Carter was not slender. She was built mm-hmm. like a brick shit house.
Like okay. a brick house.
But Linda Carter is also not 6 foot tall. So I don't need a 6 foot tall woman to be Wonder Woman. I just need somebody believable as a badass that I would believe would be the daughter of the Queen of the Amazons, in line to be the Queen of the Amazons. I need to believe her badassery and her lineage. And there's nothing about Gal Gadot that I don't adore. And I think her look just speaks regal. Like, I buy her as a princess. Of Amazons. So, I'm down. I'm in. And the photo just, like, seal it. She looks so badass. I'm stoked. So, haters hate. You do your thing. I think Gal Gadot is gonna rock it as Wonder Woman. And the images just, to me, like, solidify that. So, I was really glad to see that come out of Comic-Con. Saw a couple of people talking about the Legend of Korra game. Haven't really been able to find anything definitive on that yet. So, as soon as we do, we'll talk about it. Hopefully, we'll be able to go through it on next week's show, but I think we're ready to talk about the main course.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of going on at Comic-Con right now, and hopefully there are a multitude of people getting swags of different kinds for me, mostly Transformers, Archer, and Ninja Turtle swag is what I'm hoping for. We'll see what happens.
Go Ninja, go Ninja, go!
Swag. That was my jam back in the day.
Swag.
Just saying. We're here to talk about Destiny, because it's time.
It's the destined time to discuss Destiny.
So what had happened was the Destiny beta opened up on the 17th.
Like, boom, here's this beta. You can play it now.
For PlayStation owners, and was slated to open on the 23rd for Xbox owners.
So it's very good that both me and Ninja both have PS4s.
Yes.
And PS3s, technically.
Yes. Although mine's in retirement right now.
I know. I should probably think about retiring mine now, too.
That being said, I believe that I didn't start playing the beta until the 19th. You know, I day job, doesn't always allow for things to pop off.
I've been playing for 2 days now.
Jumped into the beta, and after about a half hour play, was sold on getting the game. Now, I will say, I did get to spend a little bit of time walking past Destiny at E3, because I was not able to get a quality hands-on time through Activision on the game. But everything I saw from Destiny up until then looked good, which we had mentioned, you know, on bunches of shows. And I believe we even talked about how good the damn thing looked when we did the round table with Gamertag after E3. But I really wanted to get hands-on. So when the alpha dropped, I had played that. And the alpha was pretty short, you know, a mission, a little bit around the world. Hey, guess what? Look great. And even being for an alpha, there really weren't a lot of bugs that I came across. Some people were bitching and moaning about some of the voice work, but I don't agree with them. But hey, it's been addressed in the beta. But the beta was really designed to be a big test for Bungie and their servers. So
yep, because Bungie's developing this.
First, the beta was a limited time closed beta. And you needed a code, an invitation code, in order to get into the beta. What was great about the invitation system was once you redeem your code, you were actually given two additional codes so you can invite two of your friends, so you could have a full fire team, which is you and two other people, full team of three,
yep,
to play the game with. And I thought that was ingenious. So
rather than being... Oh my god, teenage girls are going to be able to play this because they can't even. Perfect.
I don't even know where that came from, but I thought it was ingenious that you got a code that allowed you right off the bat to bring two friends with you, so you didn't have to worry about trying to team up or find out if your friends got a code or not.
Oh, I love walking out. Teams. So are you going to play Destiny? Do you want to be on my team?
Really? Going to be that stereotypical right now? Really? On this show? Like, of all shows?
Hey,
be that douche? Hey, that's going to be you right now?
Hey,
you
want to be part of my team of three?
So anyway, I thought that was ingenious and a great way to, you know, push getting your friends to play with you. So rather than hoping that they got a code, being able to give them one right off the bat so you could jump in. I ultimately ended up not needing to give my codes to anyone because I invited Panda and she was like, yeah, you can give me a code, whatever, and never used it. And the rest of my friends that were on my friend list already had codes and were playing Destiny. So it was very easy for me to pair up with people right off the bat. What I will say is if you haven't heard anything about Destiny, then I'm not exactly sure how you found this podcast because I'm not sure how much of a gamer you are. But Destiny is a very big, very large, massively multiplayer online game.
But not a traditional MMO in the way that you think of, like, Final Fantasy Realm Reborn or World of Warcraft.
Correct.
or that. I actually feel like if Destiny went on a date with Halo, but then got picked up by, like, Borderlands, sort of.
I feel that it's more like Halo and Mass Effect 3 got really drunk at a party and went off to spend like some time together just to get some air and then woke up the next morning in bed together naked.
Oh, yes. That's a good one too.
I feel like that kind of describes Destiny because it's definitely not Halo. And there are a lot of people that thought that it was, you know, because this is Bungie's first not Halo game, not at Microsoft. And it is a big world. I think that people forget that, you know, Bungie wasn't always at Microsoft. They started making games for Mac. Myst, anybody?
Yes. I remember Myst.
So they've got a very big, rich history and big, gorgeous open worlds. And Destiny is a big, gorgeous open world. So the way that the game works is, and not to get too much into the story, because to be honest, there's not a whole lot that's known necessarily about the story other than there was a golden age for
this.
We'll start at humans, but multiple races. And then the collapse came, which was darkness descending across the galaxy in the form of the Fallen, which are various
races. Sounds like Sailor Moon could help.
kind of various races that have fallen to the dark side and are systematically obliterating the universe. And so there is a last bastion of hope, which is the tower.
Bastion.
Which is the tower. Kind of very much like Neverending Story. There's this last bastion of Castle of Light.
Yep.
In
it's a circle.
Story,
it's a giant circle
it's
in the sky.
The princess's castle. In this game, it's the tower, which is one planet.
No, we have not Earth. Bumped into the childlike empress yet.
We have bumped into the seeker, though, who I think is like as close to the childlike empress as you're going to get.
I think we're going to get.
But there are various classes. So there are three classes to start with. You have Titan, Hunter, and Warlock. And within those classes, you have your agility, but not a lot of armor. You have your Titan, which is basically your walking, you know, brick shit house. Slow, but defended and weaponed to the fucking hilt. And then you have your Warlock, which is kind of in between a Hunter and a Titan, but plus magic. So you can pick your class, then you can pick your race. There are three to choose from to start. I actually went with human, and I went back and forth between which race I wanted to be. And ultimately, the main reason that I went with human is because I wanted to see, you know, what different features that I could mimic and how close to a me or me-ish like, or ultimately, let me be honest, Aisha Tyler looking like mofo could I make. Because that's really what I aim for in most games when I'm trying to make a black female character is, can I make it look like a badass Aisha Tyler? Because I can never make it look like me. They don't have the nose and the cheekbone and the shortness.
Yeah, but the games that will give you that type of customization
are not the types of games that I would play.
Right, and so, not to mention it takes forever because every dial does one thing.
Yeah.
And it takes you, seriously, like I went back into Saints Row 4 just to see if I could make my face. And I'm, like, halfway there, and, like, my mouth is apparently a bitch. And I am just having
if
the
If I
hardest.
Had a dollar for every time I said that, Panda.
You'd have $2?
I would have more than $2.
But
I could buy a
sandwich. On the other hand, to her human hunter, I have an awoken warlock. In most of these type of games, I tend to like playing characters who have special spell abilities,
mm-hmm.
even though they're
you
not...
You do tend to gravitate towards the magically inclined.
I like mages, I like sages, I like wizards, I like warlocks, I like sorceresses.
You like magic!
I do, except for the gathering.
Yeah,
and
that's not your thing.
No, it's not. But, so as soon as I saw that was an option, I was like, yep, me. And the Awoken, which they're not giving us a lot of detail as to what the whole race / clan is about.
But I have a feeling that on September 9th that will
all change. But, like, I am, like, this really pale lilac color. I have these dramatic, like, they have very dramatic eyes. Like, I feel like if you look at the people from Dune, the ones who, their eyes with the dust, when they have the dust, their eyes do that thing.
Yep.
I feel like that's the kind of look you get in your eyes when you're an Awoken. Like, they're just very bright and they're
vibrantly
in, I can't remember what those people were called in Dune, though. But whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And I have, like, a little shortcut, because, I mean, they're pretty much keeping all the hair to, like, a minimum. You don't have any overflowing Miranda
hair.
Yeah,
again, and this is where, like, the Mass Effect thing started to feel similar to me, is that there are some choices, but there's not, like, a deep amount of choices. You basically
well,
have...
Well, we're also in beta, so if there are more, or they're working on more, we're just not seeing them yet.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't really necessarily think that you have to have more, you know, because...
I just never understood wearing those little masks, and then, like, if there was a cutscene where, like, you take it off, like, if you had huge hair, like, all this hair just, like, comes pouring out. I'm like, where did that fit? Where did that fit?
Science!
I never understood
you
that.
You don't have volume.
This hair.
You don't have volume and space only on
I'm
spaceship.
Like, in all honesty, I do every mission without being able to see because my hair blocks my visor.
I tried to make sunglasses out of my hair and it didn't work. It's just really itchy.
Like it was going up my nose. It was very uncomfortable.
So again, I if they add more, I just think that it'll just take more time to get you to the game. It's really just designed to be right now. My feeling is how you look when you are at the tower, when you're not in danger and you don't have your mask on, because pretty much in every mission, you will always have your headgear on because it is armor that gives you more defense.
So, well, not to mention, you really shouldn't be out on these planets
without some kind of filtering
thing. Because I think they're going to play on that, because the fact that when you are resurrected, spoiler alert, you were dead.
spoiler alert, you have died.
You were dead at the start. But aren't we all? Ooh.
Oh, don't do that. Little Miss, I like things, stories of incest.
Anyway.
Like, move on.
Anyway. But when you get revived, your ghost, who has the awesome voice of Tyrion Lannister, Peter Dinklage.
Dinklage. No.
Say it again.
Dirk Diggler is in Boogie Nights.
So it's Peter
Dinklage.
Dinklage. Which I did not notice until Ninja threw it.
How did you?
I didn't. But when he revives you, he's like, "Yeah, we got to get you like inside, like right now. Like this wind is blowing, and like there must be stuff that can potentially harm you. Like I feel like maybe Awoken were people who were exposed to some type of like space bacteria or whatever.
Space bacteria is bad,
and like made them in because." Everyone has outside of the
maybe
robot race.
Maybe they're living with space herpes. You don't
maybe
know.
Maybe they sniffed too much dust.
It could happen.
And this
it
is what happened happen. To them. But we don't know, but we'll find out.
Yep.
But needless to say, they leave a lot of things up for more questions. Like, every question I have is answered by another question, which now does not have an answer.
But I like that about games, you know, and so with this game, one of the things that I'm enjoying right now is that you have the ability to play through stories, either by yourself or with a fire team. And your fire team, it consists of you and two other members. And what's great is that as you go from world to world, there are multiple open world events that anybody that's on the map at that time can participate in. And so I've been in events where there were six other players on the screen, and because they weren't partied up, they were able to participate in this open world environment that dropped on us, which was basically like a big mechanized spider fallen thing, which is really fucking difficult. And let me tell you, when they drop in and you're by yourself, leave the fucking area, because you are not a badass at level 8 enough to take those things out by your damn self. But it was really interesting in the mechanic of, as I'm progressing through the level, I may run into other gamers who are progressing through the level, and there are parts where we can actually progress and support each other even without being on teams, taking out members and covering each other. And then just to the point where we start the mission, do they disappear and I'm, you know, left to my own devices and playing again. And I kind of really like that whole ad hoc thing. Like, I was fighting a bunch of people before Panda started playing the game, and I was getting overwhelmed, and all of a sudden enemies around me started dropping, and it was because this level 8 guy was sniping them from above me, and we hadn't talked, we weren't in a party, I had no idea that he was there because I wasn't paying attention to my HUD, and he just sniped him, and then did a little dance and went about his way to play on the game. And I really like that, because it does make you feel like you're part of a community, like there are guardians that will pop up out of no place and run around with you for a little while in the open environment before they go on and do their thing. And I've really enjoyed that, and that's never happened for me before.
Oh, that's happened to me.
In any game that I've played like this. So that was really encouraging to see.
Yeah, when I was playing Demon Souls, because there was that whole, I told you, blue phantoms, black, mm-hmm. red phantoms, and red phantoms are there to, you know, fuck your shit up. So whenever you see one, most of the time, you either try to defeat them, or you get killed, or you run away from them in hopes that they cannot find you. And I ran into one who literally was leading me through the world and was killing things because he could manipulate the world. And he was killing all this stuff, and I was picking up all the orbs, because that's kind of how that game goes. And he led me right up to the boss and, like, psyched me out. I thought he was going to attack me, and then he, like, fell off the side of the building. And I was like, you totally just did that to be helpful. The other one wasn't so nice, though, but, you know, that happens.
That does happen.
Everyone has dick days, okay?
Yep. You know, sometimes you're like, you know what? Fuck that guy and anybody that walks in front of me. And then I'm the poor schmuck that ends up walking in front of you.
Yep.
It happens. It's okay. You know, I had one guy invite me to party up, and I, against my better judgment, accepted the party invitation. And I shit you not, the first words that he said to me was like, "So are you really a girl?" And I was like, "Yes, I am in fact a girl." And he's like, "Oh, cool, cool. So I have a question that I want to ask, but I don't want to be rude." And I was like, "Are you going to ask me about my boobs?" And he's like, "I might." I was like, well, thank you so much for inviting me to your party. And I left the party.
That sounds like the most, like, genuine way to even be a dip. Like I want to ask you this thing that I know you're probably going to interpret the way that I actually mean it. But I'm going to say it in such a way that makes you feel less threatened about the thing I'm about to say.
Yep, that's basically what happened. Like, I don't want you to feel threatened by this.
It's like, but I'm not racist, but I do want to know about your
tits.
Like, I'm not going to tell you to make me a sandwich. However,
if you're going to the kitchen,
if you happen to have a knife in your hand, I have these two pieces of bread.
I like mayo. I'm saying. Like, and so I was like, nope. So we're done.
I have not run into that in a very long time.
Yeah. And I have my list set up so you can message me if we're friends. So I'm sure that he wanted to message and be like, please don't be mad and don't, like, report me or anything like that.
How old did this douche sound?
I'm going to guess that he's
17?
No, he's older. I'm going to guess.
22?
It's probably in the 20s, like early 20s.
I can't.
That's what he sounded like.
I can't even.
Yeah. Because I give 14-year-olds a pass because hormones make you do stupid things. So, and you probably have never seen, like, real boobs before. So I give, like, young kids a pass, but
don't give those fuckers anything.
Once you get to be, like, 17 and you're still asking dumb shit like that, I don't even deal with you. So that was, like, my second experience doing multiplayer with trying to team up with people. And I let that go. And I was like, that's it. Unless you're on a playlist where...
And then after that, Ninja was very, very aggressive about getting me to get into this beta.
I was extremely aggressive because I was like, look, there are missions and there are things that I want to get and I need support. I need to be able to talk to people.
Yet you were sitting there, and as I come in currently, as this podcast goes up, I am now level 5 going into 6.
Whoop, whoop.
And, like, she's level 8. So she's already 8. And she's already capped. And, like, through our first experience of us playing together, like, she's just mowing shit down. Like, I think the first mission, I only killed, like, 3 people.
I'm only mowing shit down because you're level 5. Once you get to level 8, you're going to actually see how inept at this game I am.
So I'm just like, she's got this. I don't know why she needs me.
I look like I know what I'm doing. I can't snipe for shit.
I wish I could take your sniper rifle because I have, I'm
like,
a great
so
snipe.
Many sniper rifles. And that's one thing that I hope that they change in the game is right now you can't gift anything to anyone that you're playing with, so I can't, like, give you a weapon.
Like, I wonder if each of the particular classes has or gets gear based on, like, a certain thing. Like warlocks are going to be really good with assault rifles. And, like, I mean, from the picture, it looks like the hunter is holding a pistol in one hand. So, like, maybe the hunter will be good at, you know, smaller weapons.
Well, I will tell you what. I get hand cannons all the time, and I suck at hand cannons because they're only good at close range.
Well, I'm trying to think because...
And I have such little armor because hunters are supposed to be nimble, so it's not like I'm caked
up like a
titan.
Yeah, you guys are meant to be, like, DPS. You're meant to be, like, the rogues.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be close combat, where I feel like the warlock is a mixture because, like, my melee attack actually causes me to have to be close enough to be able to stab you like you would with your knife.
Yep.
But, like, and my gun is an assault rifle, so I'm spraying and praying most of the time. I mean, and I've not played the third class, which is the...
Titan,
and I'm sure that is probably, like, the tank who can take more damage and is also close range combat.
And tanks are the reason why I hate the Crucible, which is basically capture the flag.
Because everyone's like a Titan and they go in there whooping ass?
Almost every team I've played against has been, like, 4 Titans and 2 Warlocks. Go.
Oh, God.
Oh, and they're all level 8 and they've been through the Crucible, like, 4 times, so they're wearing Crucible gear. Yeah. I've been fucked. Like, single outing in the Crucible, which is why I don't like the Crucible. I like the idea of the Crucible, which is capture the flag with 3 areas that points A, B, and C that you have to neutralize and take over for your team and then hold. None of the teams that I've been on have used chat and have been smart enough to go, hey, it's 6-on-6 play, let's leave 2 people camped at every point,
yeah,
and you respawn, you go back to that point, you hold your fucking point. Like, nobody does that.
No, that's actually a very good strategic
way
to do that.
Like, camp 2 people at every freaking point, and...
Like, depending on what your makeup is, you can put a Titan at each, and then a Hunter and a Warlock. Yeah.
Every spot gets a Titan, and
then that guy can take damage while the other one's burning them down.
Correct. But nobody's on chat, so I can't share my brilliant tactical ideas.
I'm on chat.
So I just keep running every time I die and respawning and running back to the place that I was. And every time I go, like, the dudes that were there, they're like, oh, we took the spot back. I'm going to leave and go to another spot. I'm like, no, stay. They're going to come back to this spot because they're going to want to capture it. Don't leave me. And then they leave me. And some Titan comes in like a fucking boomer ship and blows me the hell off the map. And then everybody rushes to point A because point A has been retaken. And what's really interesting is that the voice that I hear in the Crucible talking about, because you have play-by-plays that are done by a narrator, talking about points being taken, being lost or secure, I swear is the guy who was the, who played Zod in the Christopher Reeve.
Zod!
Superman Sorry. Movies. I'm pretty sure.
That's actually that hurt guy. My throat, actually.
Because he's like, point B has been taken. And the way that he says it, I'm like, Zod? I'm pretty sure that
All hail Zod. Zod?
Pretty sure that that's Zod. So, a lot of British actors involved. Because Bill Nighy is the voice of the Seeker.
He's that guy in Underworld.
Yeah,
who was Celine's dad who killed her mom and stuff. And he was also in, like, Love Actually and shit.
Yes. He's been in quite a few movies.
Like, he's pretty... you would know him if you saw his face.
He was in The Best Exotic Marigold, which I absolutely adore. It's an adorable little love story. Plus, Dame Judi Dench is in it. Dame Judi Dench. So, you have to be a part of that. But I... All in all, like, the gameplay is really fantastic. And I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I do. But I love the mechanics of going in alone for a period of time and really not being alone as much as the common areas go. And then being able to team up with up to two other people to run through the campaign. I really like that. The dynamic and the way that it's set up is that even when you are doing things like going back to the tower, which is basically your safety spot to beef up your weapons, your ships, get side quests that you can do, which include bounties when you get to a certain level, special missions that I'm assuming are going to be put into place by the Bungie team over time. Collect letters, find schematics for new, more powerful weapons that will need to be decrypted for you to have them, plus run in the Crucible. There's no lack of things to do outside of just the linear story, which I think is really refreshing because there were a lot of people who had concerns that the game was going to be very short. You know, the way that it's been explained is that the beta that we're currently playing is about 10% of the game. Well, if this is 10% of the game, and you've got bounties, you've got Crucible, you've got open world grinding that you can do, plus the missions, plus the skill trees that you can upgrade, because for every class, it looks like there's at least three specialties that you can do. So the Hunter class has the Gunslinger as a specialty that you can focus on, but also has Blade Dancer, which when you get to a certain level, it opens up and then you can focus more on that. So I think that's where more of the melee stuff will be. There's no lack of things to do in the game. And so if this 13 gig download is 10% of the game, well, with the amount of time that I've spent in it, which I'm probably queuing up on about 20 or so hours total in this beta, then I should be pretty damn good as far as when the game is actually released, being pretty entertained for more than a week. So I don't think anyone should be worried about this game being short. It's only going to be short if all you do is try to crunch the Crucible timeline. But any game like this is short when you just try to critical path it.
Yeah.
I think is a mistake for these types of games.
Well,
They're designed for you to explore.
Exactly. MMOs are meant to be, like, they create this open world because they want you to go beyond those linear paths to figure shit out.
And
like,
this world is so big. There's not just the main landscape, but there are caves. And sometimes there is loot in the caves.
And sometimes there's just a puddle that you can splash in and have a mini pool
and
party.
And sometimes there are really, really overpowered bosses in the caves. And you walk into a cave and you're like, oh, what's around this corner? And then you get hit by a single bullet that kills you and forces you to respawn. And then you go, I'm not going around that corner again. And you leave the cave.
Oh, that's the corner. I was like, are we going here? You're like, nope.
Nope. Yep, because there's a hallowed knight in there that his level shows up as just question mark, question mark. Yeah,
oh, I hate when they do that.
Enemies like that, you just want to turn around, walk the other way. You just want to... I think those are the enemies are, that require the weapons that are like 358 damage as opposed to, I think my wax weapon right now was like 51, and I thought I was badass when I got a weapon that was like 51 damage. And I went up to one of the Crucible people, and they were like, yeah, so here are the weapons for our players that dominate in the Crucible. And I'm like, there's a weapon that you list here that does 359 damage. Why would I need a weapon that does 359 damage? I'm pretty sure that that cave is one of the reasons why.
Probably, and I'm sure there's many more like it.
I'm sure there are whole planets that are like it, because we can't just be battling on Earth.
Oh, no. I'm sure we're going to be all... With that freaking star map, there is no way we're only staying on Earth.
Nope. Nope. You know, there was a public event, and I missed it, unfortunately, where they unlocked the moon for a few hours for you to do a quest on the moon, and evidently it was amazing.
I feel like at the end of this beta, they might reopen it again for some people.
I hope that they do, because, you know, this beta has really been, I think, probably one of the more enjoyable betas that I've played in a long time. Beta. It really has. And so I'm looking forward to the full game. After my second day playing the beta, I decided to purchase the game because I hadn't purchased it before then.
Right.
And there's a ghost edition that actually comes with a mock-up of your ghost.
Oh, does it have Peter Dinklage's voice in it?
Dinklage. I don't know. The licensing on that would be redonkulous if it actually had his voice in it. So it's a ghost replica, a couple of cards, a nice tin case for the game. There's a pamphlet on safety or some shit like that that walks through like different things that are happening in the timeline in history. It gives you access to some specialty weapons and armor and things like that. It's sold out in every online retailer that I was able to find that's reputable. So, no Ghost Edition. And I think it's because it's also one of the more affordable.
Probably.
Collector's Editions with those kinds of extras that I've seen. Because it was only $150. I was expecting it to be like $250. You know, typically, of late, collector's editions that come with replicas are hitting that $200 mark or better.
Yeah.
But it was only $150, $149.99.
Yeah, but with 10, yeah.
You know, but still, that's pretty damn affordable for, when you think about it, game, extras, DLC. It also gave you the season pass, which will give you two more separate single-player campaign pieces, as well as some other DLC. $150 is actually not bad for that when you think about season pass plus a collectible statue plus the game.
Right.
Not actually bad. Which is more than likely the reason why it was sold completely the fuck out. Then you had the limited edition, which was basically all the stuff except for the replica. Also sold completely the fuck out online. Ultimately, I ended up going with the digital download because, one, that gave me day one play, which I've already taken the day off of work, so I can play Destiny first day out. And as you know, it's been a while for me for taking first day release off for any game. I think the last one that I did that for might have been Infinite. It was either Infinite or Mass Effect 3, actually, that I took the day off to play Infinite. Day one. Yeah, I think it was Infinite.
It was.
So, Destiny, that's how much I've enjoyed my beta, is that I'm actually taking that day so I can play it. The beautiful thing about the day one download, if you're doing it on the PlayStation, is that it will actually start downloading the game to your system on September 4th, and you'll be able to play the game starting at midnight on the 9th when it's released. So it's actual midnight release digital for players. That's kind of big.
Yeah, that is a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the same on the Xbox side of the world or not, but I'll definitely explore it. Because I wanted to play the beta early, I did, in fact, download it. I have been playing it on my PlayStation. And in one of the surprising things for me, it's actually easier for me to marathon games with the PlayStation controller than with the Xbox One controller. I find that I get much less gamer grip playing with my PlayStation controller. So
I'm still getting used to the analog stick, like that weird divot in it, because I'm so used to the, you know, PS3 controller having the, like, bubbled top of the analog stick. I'm not used to the impression.
I like the impression because my thumb rests more comfortably in it.
I'm just not used to it, so my thumb is like, this feels weird. And I'm just like, keep playing.
Must play Destiny. So all in all, my thoughts are very positive about Destiny. It definitely changed my mind. Which is why
I was ready to throw it into the, you know...
You had put it in the pile of things that I wasn't going to play, because I, and I'm pretty sure we have this on a podcast, was like, you got to try this game. And you're like, nope, not touching it.
Yep. And now I'm eating crow.
Delicious, delicious. I put some cumin on it.
I feel very Jon Snow, as in I don't know anything. You know nothing, Pandalicious. I most
you
certainly
know
don't.
Nothing, Pandalicious.
Don't ask me shit, because I don't know it.
I tried to tell you that Destiny, I thought, was going to be one of those games that would be right up your fucking alley.
Because it's all the MMO characteristics that got me.
Because it's a good balance of action and MMO.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy it so much, is because most MMO games that I've sat down in the past to try and play were very, very heavy on the MMO, you know, skill tree updating, grinding to find things to update skill tree, not so much necessarily on story, and really not so much on action, almost being turn-based,
mm-hmm.
to a point, which, you know, turn-based for me turns me off when talking about video games, but Destiny is not that. There's plenty of action. If I didn't want to spend any time updating my skill trees, just grinding through action over and over, taking out baddies to try and get money for more weapons, I will, in the background, update different skill sets because there are, you know, skill points for my class for sniping and taking perfect shots and killing enemies.
Oh, why don't I have a sniper rifle? I want it.
You should just buy one.
I want
it. Go to a gunsmith and buy one.
I want a sniper rifle.
Just go buy one.
I want to make the heads go pop.
If I could give you one, I would give you one.
Give me!
I have like 7.
Give me it! I want it!
They're all level 51, but...
I want it.
I think because there's so much action and there's nothing that's turn-based and the environments are so big that even once you complete a mission, you can go to an open world, basically grind fest, and go through all of the areas that currently on the planet have been unlocked that are mission-based, that are all now connected together. So you can go through each of them and explore every cave that you may have missed and find loot in there or bosses. That's bad when you find bosses. But almost every structure is explorable. That's massive. Like, I feel like this really is a massive multiplayer online game. As opposed to just a really big online multiplayer game.
I get it.
And I'm excited about that because with, you know, adding DLC to that, there's so much you can do and so much you can add on. And now that you're going to have extended storage on the Xbox One, it makes doing it as a digital download much more accessible because you'll be able to add on an external hard drive to put it on. And I think that you'll have external storage as an option coming to the PlayStation 4 very soon because, you know, 500 gigs only gets you so far. And if 10% of the game, which is what I'm playing, is 13 gigs, I'm going to imagine that 100% is mighty big gigas.
It's massive.
I'm gonna imagine that this is probably gonna be maybe a 150 gig game. Like, I think it's gonna be massive.
Oh.
I think it's gonna be like Rage that had 4 discs that if you did the full install, it took some massive gigas off your machine. I have a feeling that Destiny is gonna be the same.
Ooh, that sounds heady.
But that's my experience with Destiny. As a person who was originally like, nope, not gonna touch it, I really would like to hear, like, how your journey with Destiny happened, changed.
It happened because you were grilling me, like, all the time. Like, you'd be climbing
like
in my window, be stalking me all the time.
I wasn't stalking you. I was just like, yo, have you got
like,
that
bloop,
Destiny?
Did you get it?
Did you get on that beta yet?
Are you downloading it now?
I know.
It's really big.
I know, I did.
You should do it.
I hit you.
Oh, I see you're doing it now.
You know it's important when I hit you both via text message and Facebook message with the same message.
Yep. I was like, okay. I'm like, I'm doing it right now. It's at 72%. All right, let me know when you're ready. Bloop. And I'm like, okay. I'm
because
like,
you can see.
And I had to do it. And the first bit of the game, you have to play by yourself.
Yes.
Like, they're solo. You're in solo mode and you can't team up.
Because it's basically the tutorial.
So I'm like, I'm in solo mode. I'll let you know when I'm not in solo mode. And because it's still in beta, they have messages letting people know that because they're tweaking things out, that there's a good chance that you can get pulled or dropped. from their servers, which was happening to me, like, right after I had just beaten my first boss. I'm like, I just got my ship. I'm about to get my ship again. I got my ship. Now we can play. And then I'm like, it's nighttime. We'll play in the morning. And then we played in the afternoon the next day, because I'm a little lazy. And
surprise.
And like I said, I'm a warlock, because that's the way I kind of roll.
Yep. That's what you do.
I mean, like I said, I'm pretty much just following Sis around right now while I still get my bearings, because I'm the little one now.
Yeah, but you're about to be boss, because you're level 5.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the world looks, I think right now for the beta, like, every time you drop into a new world, I don't feel like the places that we show up, like, that initial place that we drop down to, is any different. Because, you know, you use your ghost primarily as most of your HUD system. Like, it will give you that marker that tells you where you need to go. Because your HUD is very minimal and doesn't give you a lot. Which, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I actually kind of like the minimalist part of that. But it's always like, oh, check your ghost to see which direction you have to go into. And guaranteed, the 3 quests I've done, the minute I put it up, it wants me to go north. Like, yep. North from where I am so far. I've just had to go straight. All 3 missions. Just go north until you come into some baddies, find some cave stuff, which, you know, hopefully they'll go and change that, and we're not going to get a Dragon Age 2 where literally every cave and every nuance that is supposed to be unique and different is mapped the same. Because, I mean, that's something that not too many people caught on right away, but when you did, you were like, oh, it's the same map layout. And if we're doing this big open world in space, the space is a snowflake. Everything should be different from place to place. And I know we're in beta, so, like, they're probably just using the same map because it's not mastered yet. But I'm already looking to see that is different every encounter.
And I think that as you progress through the game that will be. You know, right now, all the missions that we're doing are on the same planet, and they're all connected. So the fact that you're being dropped in the same start point and going north west.
North into the left, or north to the right, yep. Or just north.
Just makes sense.
But you're
sense.
Not going south. You're not going north-south, because then you're just back at where you started.
And the thing is basically you're starting on the far end of the map, and then you're progressing through the rest of the story. And as you look at, I think if you look at the planet, you'll realize that, oh yeah, that makes sense, because you're starting at the farthest out point and you're progressing to an area that literally is going to be on the top of the screen in the left. So that's why you're starting always at the same point
right
on the planet. And I think that will happen for every planet that you visit. I think the thing that will change in the game is that you're going to visit other planets.
Right.
It's not just these missions on Earth and the 2 missions on the moon. Or at least the 3 missions that it looks like they're on the move.
Well, I mean,
right
the
now.
Fact that part of the opening thing shows people landing on Mars, I feel like we're probably going to visit, if not all of the planets, which I feel would be really awesome. I would enjoy that because, you know, that'd be pretty cool. I lost my train of thought.
You were talking about visiting other planets.
Yeah, like I want to visit all of them. Like I want to visit Pluto. And Saturn.
Pluto is not a planet, though.
It was, though.
I know, but it's not now.
And now it's like a dwarf star. I want to visit that dwarf star. And I want to visit Uranus.
I'm not following that statement.
I want to visit Uranus. I want to visit Uranus. Yes, I mean your butt. Just kidding. I mean the planet.
I have nothing. I have no response.
That's going to be a clip that will haunt me for the rest of my adult life.
Like, serious and for real, I have no response to what you just said.
I totally just did jazz hands, too, not that you guys
saw that.
I
can't even deal with you right now.
You can't even?
I can't even.
One in seven.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, Destiny won me over, and I think it won you over.
It did, but I'm not telling it out loud, because then it's going to feel very full of itself.
Because 15 minutes in, I believe, Panda said something along the lines of, we're going to have to get this game and play together.
Yep.
And you never say that you want to play with me.
I never say that to you.
So I was like, well, buy it, because I already did. So
yep.
I felt like Kelso in that 70s show. I already did it, so.
Oh. I like Kelso.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to Destiny. Like I said, you know, and it's not about riding the hype train. It's just actually getting hands-on with the game. Now, if you don't like massive multiplayer online games, guess what? Destiny's not for you, and you're gonna fucking hate it. If you are the type of person who is a massive Halo fanboy, guess what? There's gonna be a lot of things that you see when you pick up this game and start playing it that are gonna feel very Halo-like. It shouldn't surprise you. It's a Bungie game. Of course they're gonna go back to things that they know really well, that they basically created in the industry, and have them sprinkled throughout games that they continue to make. It's their engine. It's their algorithm. They're not going to just abandon it if it works. So don't be surprised that some things are definitely going to feel like Halo.
Yeah, don't.
Just like if you're a massive Mass Effect fan, as you play the game, as far as you go through on story and like emotions that they try to create in an environment, they're going to feel very similar. Shouldn't surprise you. Bungie is known for trying to tell deep stories. So, you know, as long as you go into it expecting it to be something that Bungie created, I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you go in with it thinking that it's going to be anything completely different from Halo or completely different from anything you've played before, it's not. And you'll be disappointed. But what it is a great take on the MMO game. And I love it. I can't wait to play it on September 9th. So now I gotta make it all the way through August.
So I can make it through August.
So it looks like for me, Destiny is gonna be the lead off on Broke Bitch Holiday.
I'm already. I'm anticipating Broke Bitch everything.
Well, because, you know, things are moving up all over the place. I think the ship date for Disney Infinity 2 has moved up, because originally it was planned for December, and I've been getting notifications that a bunch of my pre-order stuff is now going to ship in September. So it looks like that timeline's moving up fast, and I think just to really capitalize on the movies, you know, with all the news coming out about the Avengers 2 movie, yep, and
make it marketable.
Guardians of the Galaxy's now 1 and 2, I think that you'll just see that kind of move up, you know, faster for a reason, which I'm completely okay with. But October's going to be a big month because you've got Sunset coming out. You've got
I know, I got to get an X-Bone for Sunset.
You got a Unity coming out, which is going to be...
No, that's going to eat up a lot of your time.
A lot of my time. And I may probably beat you into playing it so that I have a crew member to play with.
Unity. If it's anywhere as remotely good as Destiny, you might have an easier time. Wait, is Unity cross-platform?
Unity is going to be on all the platforms.
Okay, good.
As far as next gen. So Unity is going to be on PS4 and Unity.
Which one are you going to want to play it on?
Probably going to want to play it on X-Bone.
Which means I have to get an X-Bone.
Well, you're going to get an X-Bone for Overdrive anyway.
I am.
So.
Yeah.
There you have it. Things moving consoles. Destiny
moving
Sunset,
consoles.
Overdrive, and
Unity.
Assassin's Creed Unity.
Unity. UNITY, bitch.
Oh.
I'm totally going to play that song
Queen Latifah.
While,
That's good
while
stuff.
I'm playing Unity.
I'll allow it. Because Queen Latifah plus
I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want.
It's all good. It's all good. You totally can. And one of those things that you should want to do is check out the stuff that we write on our website, www.egmnow.com. You can check out our reviews, previews, all the stuff that we're thinking about. We're writing it up, and we'll put it over there. Make sure you subscribe to our page over at egmnow.com, and that will ensure the moment that we put out new articles on the website that you'll know about and get that notification. Share them on your socials, all that good stuff. We appreciate that. Spread the esh word around the internet.
Spread the love.
You can also get our weekly podcast on our website, egmnow.com, but that's not where the podcast is.
Nope.
The podcast is at electricsisterhood.com. It's also in the iTunes store via your desktop application or the podcast app on your iOS device by searching for Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. You will also find our podcast on Stitcher Radio. You'll find it in the Microsoft Store. And oh yeah, you'll also find it on the VOG Network, because we're down with VOG. Because we're Mad Geeky, y'all should be Mad Geeky too. Make sure you go to VogNetwork.com and check out some of the great shows that they have over there. Like our homie, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hey, B-Wolf.
What's up, B-Wolf? Make sure you check out his show. It's amazeballs. Pretty much everything over there. Totally amazeballs.
It's all like plus 10 to cha.
You heard her. What she said.
It's plus 10 to charisma.
I know.
I didn't know.
I do know some of those things. Just not all of those things. So make sure that you check out VogNetwork.com. Our show airs on Tuesdays right before anime jam session. So video games and anime, great way to end a Tuesday night. Just saying, throwing it out there. Putting up the flagpole, see if you salute. Whatevs. For the rest of your nerd needs for the rest of the week, we've got you covered. On Tuesdays, you can catch a brand new episode of No Borders, No Race, which is hosted by our homeboy KBD, King Baby Duck. If it's indie, whether it's music, J-pop, K-pop, manga, anime, video games, theater, trust us, KBD is all up on it. And you'll hear about it on No Borders, No Race. On Wednesdays, to keep your groove going, because you gotta make it through hump day somehow, you wanna check out Geek Aggro, hosted by our homie, Deuces Wild. If it's trap, if it's EDM, if it's boom, 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 then it's on Geek Aggro. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues...
He's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program. Call in live. Share your issues, your thoughts. It's so random. It's unbelievably awesome. Make sure that you check it out. And for the rest of the week... visit us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, or hit us up on our Twitter at ESH News. Ask us questions. Let us know if there's stuff that you want us to try, play, review, preview. Hell, you just got a question. You just want to say hi. Hit us up. Let us know. Follow us. Follow the team. Trust us. Your Twitter feeds will thank you. So with that, I'm going to turn to my sister and say, hey, yo, sis.
Hey.
What shit you digging this week?
Paint night.
Nice. Nice.
You go and you drink and you paint paintings. I'm going with some friends. I want to get my paint on. It's cool.
Nice.
What shit are you digging?
Rechargeable batteries and controllers because they make game life so much better. Rechargeable batteries and recharging stations. So I'm digging two things. Recharging okay. stations
You're
and recharging
allowed.
Batteries. You know, it's my podcast. Whatever. I do what I want. And as always... I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, guys.
Keep it classy.